And now a word from Salacious Crumb. And what he said was, you're listening to the Nerdcast on ProjectNerd.com.
It's that time of year again. Kool-Aid Man, you ready for Christmas?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
It's episode 178, a very special holiday edition of the Nerdcast. And all four of us have returned after weeks of ups and downs with the holidays, sickness, you know, all the fun stuff that comes in December. Point being, Adam, Bob, Tyler, and me, Iggy, all here. How you doing today, gentlemen?
Crap, dude. Christmas is next week, isn't it? I'm like, what are you talking about, holidays? It's like the middle of December.
Friday.
Crap.
4 days later is Christmas.
Yeah, that's wild. No, yeah, happy holidays, guys.
I 100% messed up. I forgot how close Christmas was and had Sunday and Monday off, which I never get, and I did literally nothing with my life. I cleaned the apartment and read two books and did nothing, and then went to work today and realized I work every day from now until Christmas Eve and have not finished Christmas shopping. So,
you didn't get us our presents?
Listen, I bought some stuff on Amazon tonight when I got home from work. So,
and Bob, Christmas thoughts from you?
I actually have no thoughts. I'm just so glad it's almost done.
I'm just excited for that 4-day weekend coming up. What?
It'll be nice.
5 days.
Two 4-day. Well, yeah, I have 5-day weekends, and I got two of those in a row. Oh, yeah, yeah, that's right.
4-day weekends in a row, not five days, but whatever. Anyways, we were absent last week. The week before that, Tyler was absent ill. I think the week before that, Bob was absent ill. So this is the first time in like 4 weeks that all four of us have been back together. And it's important because for the past few weeks, we've been prepping our fans to argue us about Die Hard, which we will get into here towards the end of the episode. We had some good responses, guys. I got a few that I typed out. I'm going to read to you. We definitely will have to pick one. I think we got one solid leader for that copy of Black Lightning Season 1 on Blu-ray. But I think we got two or three others that we're probably going to send movies to as well, just because we're in that holiday spirit right now. Although I'm going to tell you right now, every one of those people are wrong, and we're going to shut them down quickly because we all know Die Hard is a Christmas movie. And their arguments, even though are presentable enough for a podcast, are still invalid. In the meantime, we've got plenty to catch up with. And as much as I want to immediately finally dive into that Avengers Endgame trailer, because we teased you guys about it for weeks, then it finally airs and then we're gone for a week. So now we have so much to talk about as it's starting to wind down. There's a lot going on in the Spider-Verse right now because big box office weekend for Spider-Man and the Spider-Verse. At time of recording, it's still 96% on Rotten Tomatoes. And I, as well as Bob, have put it out there before we start recording, probably the best Spider-Man movie to date.
Definitely. You had great story, great characters. It just, across the board, it was a good movie. And I really wasn't expecting it to be.
How many dollars did it make?
Over the weekend, $35 million.
That's it. I felt like it was more than that.
I know.
It released earlier though in the week, didn't it?
No, it just had Thursday night openings.
Oh, okay. I don't know why I felt like.
But I think word of mouth is definitely, it got an A+ on CinemaScore. So I think word of mouth is definitely going to push that.
Well, it's already pushed it to a sequel and a spinoff. We're getting a Spider-Gwen / Spider-Woman / Silk, all female spider character spinoff. And then we get a Spider-Man sequel that's supposed to have some Miles Morales, Gwen Stacy love story going. They've already given us away the plot for the sequel already. I don't know why, but
yeah,
started writing it yet. But interesting, big movie. A lot of movies coming out, especially as we get to award season. Adam, Tyler, you guys going to check it out soon? Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse.
I do want to see it. I don't have very many people, friends of mine, who want to go see it with me, so that might be a solo trip to the movie theater. Hopefully, I'll see it, but I probably will end up seeing Aquaman and Mary Poppins and. God, there's a lot of movies, Mortal Engines, right before that.
Yeah. You might be the only one in the theater for Mortal Engines, though.
Nah, Tyler, I'll be there in spirit with you, buddy. Don't worry. No, I didn't see anything this weekend. It's hard. going down to see family. Got nieces and nephews that are of movie going age and would like to go see movies with. So holding off on that, probably do a bunch of movies over the holiday break. Unlike you guys with your 2 5-day weekends, I have from the Sorry. You're really going to dislike this thing because I have from the 21st to the 2nd off. So
I have the 24th and the 25th off. So.
I was just going to say, hey, Tyler, like 25th, nothing more impressive than just going to see Into the Spider-Verse by yourself on Christmas Day.
I will be back home, which means the nearest movie theater will be like an hour drive away. So
I was going to say, somebody might take you in and feed you dinner if they see you at the movie. Yeah. I might try that on Christmas Day now that I think about it. What? You can take me home for some free food? Okay, I'm down. I'm part of your family now. Anyways, yeah, so won the box office weekend. Again, 96% on Rotten Tomatoes, A+ on
Cinema Score.
Cinema Score, thank you. High rating on IMDb. That says high rating because I don't know the number off the top of my head. But anyways, it's getting praised left and right. And again, Sony's already come out and talked about the sequel and spinoff and intelligently released Venom on Blu-ray, DVD, and 4K on this week when the movie came out too. So well done, Sony marketing. Well done.
IMDb has 2 scores, Ziggy, an 8.8 from the users and an 87 from the Metascore.
I'll take it. It's good. That's passing. That's better than some of my grades look towards the end of college there. So, I mean, hey. But I don't know. Big movie, as you mentioned, tons of other stuff. Excited this weekend is Aquaman. So, Bumblebee, as Bob is excited for.
Only I didn't Bob. Say I was excited. I'm going to it, you know?
And he'll buy it on 4K.
Bob, what... It's like a $20 expense to go see that movie.
Not with the A-list.
He's got you there. He's got you there.
Yeah. I can go to an IMAX movie. Can
I
you?
Don't, it's harder for me because...
Well, I don't have an IMAX theater, Bob, but so no.
Aww.
With MoviePass, I would use that excuse more to just go see something that I was lukewarm about. I'm limited to 3 movies a week with A-list. And what's funny is with MoviePass... I never saw more than 3 movies a week, but for some reason in my mind with A-List, I'm like, I only got 3 movies this week. I've got to pick them wisely. Why? I don't know why I'm treating it differently. Maybe I'll get over it, but Bumblebee is definitely not on that 3 movies this week list, so just putting that out there.
Well, you live in the big metropolis of Denver. I'm in little Manhattan, Kansas. We got 13 screens, and I think each of the movies coming out is taking 2 screens, so... There's not much of a...
That's still 6 choices?
Yeah, but I've already seen like 3 of those.
With A-List, you can see that movie again.
I know I can. But, you know, that or I can go see the Jennifer Lopez movie. And I really don't want to see a Jennifer Lopez movie.
The only... Did A-List start giving us money all of a sudden? No, right. Because I'm not getting any of that sweet, sweet A-List money.
It's we're working on it. We're working on it. Yeah, the Jennifer Lopez movie. The only thing I've seen for that is like the Instagram ad of where like he gets into the guy from Heroes. I don't even remember what his name is. The guy from Heroes like gets into the shower with her for her birthday.
Oh.
Dude, there's 8 guys in that movie. I'm gonna need you to be more or that TV show. What?
No, there's like 20 guys in that TV show.
Yeah. I mean, there's only like 8 of them that would be
the
in
the main guy. Halo. The main brother. So the main brother, because there's the political brother.
Yeah.
And then there was the main brother.
The fact that you already know that you know this, I don't even know what the story's about, and you must have really focused on that preview a lot. If you're telling me about the brother,
I'm scrolling through Instagram, and somebody gets in the shower with J-Lo. I stopped.
Yeah,
you know,
he loves him an Insta story. He can't help it.
The other movie that I could go see is that Welcome to Marwen.
I don't know what that is.
That's the one where with Steve Carell.
Steve Carell one, the story based on the documentary.
That documentary, it looks really neat. It's Robert Zemeckis directed it.
Oh, I didn't know that was Zemeckis. Now I know what you're talking about. You know, I saw that trailer on Instagram as well.
Of course, but of course on Christmas Day you get Holmes and Watson, and you get Vice.
I'm so excited about Vice, and Holmes and Watson looks so terrible, and I want to see it so badly. And
I know
it's I don't know why.
It's going to be stupid funny. But Vice, I'm glad you reminded me of that, because I may need to wait to finish my top 10 list until I go see that next week then.
Oh, God, it looks so good.
Yeah, Christian Bale just doing another great job.
And Adam McKay is killing it recently. Right? Good God.
And we watched, as bad as it's getting from some critics, Mowgli on that dropped over on Netflix about a week ago.
Yeah.
Well, maybe 2 weeks ago by the time this airs. Christian Bale is one of the voice actors, does a fantastic job. It's actually a pretty solid adaptation.
Everybody is a voice actor in that
TV. I was going to say.
Not
everybody's a voice actor.
I like a lot of the characters. Yeah, I like a lot of the characters better. The story's not as good, and it doesn't obviously look anything like the Disney one, but I liked Baloo better.
Well,
oh, yeah. Well, Andy Serkis voices Baloo, and then you have Benedict Cumberbuns.
Cumberbuns.
Right. Cabbage Patch, my bad, as Shere Khan. Yeah, you had some great voice acting in it, and not everybody was a voice actor. Thank you very much, Adam. And even more so, because it followed closer to the book, you get a few more than just one person acting on screen.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, has anyone else...
But they use their voices, Iggy. They're still voice actors.
Fair.
Yeah. Has anyone else seen The Grinch?
No.
It was cute. It was a cute movie.
Bob, stop it.
What? Kill me, I enjoyed man. It was definitely different from the original Dr. Seuss story, but it kind of modernized it a little bit, and it was a fun show. It was really cute.
After I read the one article on it, it convinced me I'm not gonna bother. The trailers looked terrible as it was, and the trailers made me think exactly what the article I read on it was, and that it's the classic example. When I say classic, it's the modern example of a movie that takes a classic story and says, we don't want to disappoint or to call out or to upset anybody. So we're toning down everything. The Grinch isn't going to be extra grinchy. He's just going to be like that grumpy neighbor that you would still invite to dinner.
Yeah.
That's about the level it's going to be, because we don't want anybody to get pissed off at it. We got to be politically correct with this. And that right there was like, nope, I'm out. Cause the Grinch, like, you have to have the terrible dude to turn him good. You know what I'm getting at, but
it does bring with it. Yes. His heart's two sizes too small. And no, he's not. He's the guy. He's the old guy who yells, "Get off my lawn, kids." You know, that's all he is.
He's Clint Eastwood in
Gran Torino.
Gran Torino. Right.
Yeah. But no,
no, that definitely didn't smooth off any sharp edges. That was not the guy you invite to dinner. Who's the grumpy neighbor? Like, dial that back.
But honestly, the animation looks great. I enjoyed it. Like I said, it's definitely not the original. It's just fun.
Well, I feel like at this point you have to mess things up if you're a big studio to do bad animation.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I feel like they've got that figured out.
Oh, definitely. I'm not going to say anything.
Say it, Bob.
Nope. We got into that argument a while back. No. But anyways, I was going to say that Bumblebee is directed by Travis Knight, who directed, what's that movie in the three string, in the strings? Oh, darn Kubo? It. Yes.
Kubo and the Two Strings?
Oh, yes.
Really?
He is the director of it.
Really? You have my attention now, sir.
I thought I would.
Is Michael Bay still involved with the project?
I don't know if he's an executive producer, but he is not directing it, so there.
But he's involved.
But he hasn't directed one of those in a hot minute, though.
Yeah, he did the last one.
He did the last one. He's done all the other ones.
Yeah, I think he's just, at that point, he said, we're branching, him and Paramount just said, we're branching this off into a million different, like, directions and giving it to other people. But I feel like he's still involved to some level, so my attention is now once again lost.
Okay. All right.
Anyways. So
I didn't know anything about this Travis Knight. I knew Travis Knight, the basketball player, but this Travis Knight, who, you know, worked at Leica, made Kubo and the Two Strings, and then is making Bumblebee. I found out some interesting stuff about him. in the fact that he used to be a rapper called Chili T, and his dad is Phil Knight.
Interest is back. Interest is 100% back.
The master of the triangle offense?
No, Phil Knight, the guy who founded Nike.
That Phil Knight.
Yes.
Oh my gosh.
Oh, I was thinking Phil Jackson. And yes. Actually, the triangle offense is Tex Winter, who used to be a coach at K-State.
Is there any relation to Bob Knight there? Because if it is, I'm at Bumblebee on Thursday night because this just got a whole lot more exciting.
No, but he's Phil Knight's son, so he comes from abject poverty, obviously.
Clearly.
He was a rapper under the name Chili T for a while.
This right here alone fascinates me. Chili T.
Well, so like he...
Well, how does that guy get in charge of...
So he became
the two strings.
Well, he began his career as a rapper under the name
Chili T. A great musician.
Listen, like I'm reading, he began his career as a rapper under the name Chili T. His demo caught the attention of someone at MCA, so he took off to Manhattan for 6 months to record the album. And he didn't have anywhere to stay, so his parents luckily let him stay in their Manhattan penthouse while he
recorded the album.
blah blah blah. He went to Portland State University. And then his dad was an investor in some studio that persuaded them.
He didn't go to Oregon?
Right. How is he not a duck?
And he worked on the PJs for Fox Studios.
I don't want your life, Dad. I'm going to Portland State.
Anyway, he was a producer. He went on to be a vice president of animation at Leica and was a lead animator and producer for Coraline, Paranorman, Box Trolls, and then the director for Kubo. So.
Wow.
That's impressive.
Yeah, he's a big deal.
What was his rapper name again?
Chili T. He's also serves on the board of directors of Nike.
So. I needed to remember his rapper name again so I could set our name for this episode of the podcast.
Chili T. I think we can do better than Chili T.
Chili T and the Bumblebee.
I mean.
Listen, we all know that the name of this episode is There's No Crying in Podcasting.
Oh, so I wasn't going to make that next. I wanted to get into Avengers next, but I guess Tyler, you brought it up, so why don't you let us
know? Thanks, Tyler.
So, I mean, obviously, by this time this will publish, it will have been a few days, but Penny Marshall died today. So, you probably know her from, I don't know, everything. Laverne and Shirley, obviously, mm-hmm. was what made her famous.
Yeah.
But then she went on to be a director of much acclaim. Specifically, she was the director of Big. And then, obviously, she was the director of League of Their Own, which I made a reference to. God, what else did she direct?
Awakenings.
League of Their Own is so good, though. Like, when people talk about best baseball movies, I feel like they often forget about that one. And then you mm-hmm. mention that one, and they're like, oh, yeah.
Yeah. I'm like, Riding Cars with Boys, The Preacher's Wife. I mean, she hasn't directed a movie in, God, what?
Sometimes
16-17 years.
Yeah.
But what's the Whoopi Goldberg one? Jumping Jack Flash. She Big, Awakenings, League of Their Own, Renaissance Man. I like that movie.
Such a good one.
Yeah. Danny DeVito and super, 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 super young Matt Damon.
And what's her name too? Super young. She was in Clueless.
Alicia Silverstone.
No, it's not her.
The other.
Bridget. I don't know.
Oh, Stacey Dash.
Thank you, Stacey Dash. Oh,
I'm sorry. But anyways, Awakenings was the second film ever nominated for Best Picture that was directed by a woman.
Wow.
That's awesome. Little tidbit there.
Incredible. She was definitely known for In Front of the Camera, but name, that list right there alone from directing. Directors line up to have a list like that.
I mean, for me, that's stronger than her acting.
Yeah.
Laverne and Shirley was great, and that TV show is funny and, you know, and
but that's really all the acting she did.
Right, but she got out from that In Front of the Camera pretty quickly and then just crushed it behind the camera.
And of course she was the sister of Gary Marshall, director of Pretty Woman and a whole bunch of other.
Yeah.
So
those Marshalls did pretty good behind the camera there.
Yeah, and they're both gone now.
Yeah, but League of Their Own, probably my favorite. But yeah, Big and Renaissance Man right behind it, and a few others. Awakenings. Yeah, geez, man, it's just a great list. When you actually like verbalize it, you just remember how strong all those films are. I can watch League of Their Own though on a regular basis.
Mm-hmm.
I love that movie.
I've been wanting to watch that a lot recently.
Well, now you have a reason.
Now I have a reason.
All right. Well, yeah, Penny Marshall. I don't even think, do we need to ask what everybody's favorite movie of hers was? Or
Big.
We have
for me, it's Big.
Yeah, it's got to be Big.
It's Big, Iggy.
Really?
Big, I mean, for all three? The League of Their Own is fantastic, but
Big has that special place. In
yeah, it was the right was, age.
Yeah, I was going to say, we were the right age.
For I mean, it. I was Josh Bashkin's age when I saw Big, and I was like, what would I do if that happened to me? Like, I remember thinking, like, watching the movie over and over again, thinking like, man, that would be amazing. And yes, I would have all of these toys.
Right. Bunk beds. And top bunk. I get top bunk.
Listen, like everything about that movie was mind-blowing to me as a child because of all the toys. But like all I ever wanted in my life was a big fucking floor piano. And
oh, right. I that whole scene.
One, but I just want one so badly still.
Well, how often is that scene still mimicked to these days, like on YouTube videos and other movies everywhere? Like,
who has ever walked past one of those, like in a mall or in an FAO shorts or whatever, and walked by one of those and not immediately stopped and walked over and started doing chopsticks?
Right.
It's impossible to not do that.
No, yeah. It's Big's a great one. I'm still going to vote League of Their Own. But baseball is kind of my thing, and I just absolutely love that movie. I love Big too. Actually, I don't have a League of Their Own on my shelf. I do have Big on my shelf, though. So,
vote changed. Iggy's on our team.
My vote's not changed.
Team Big. Hashtag Team Big.
Maybe have it in 4K.
I don't know. Okay, too busy picking up Schindler's List this week in 4K, right, Bob?
Yes.
All right. So, with that, the biggest... there's tons of big things, so I hate to say the biggest thing, but a big thing that we were teasing for many weeks, because we kept thinking it was going to be this week. Oh, Marvel hinted it was this week. Was the Avengers 4 trailer. They finally drop it on the Friday of the last episode we aired, so going on 2 weeks from this air date. And Endgame was the title. They released the poster. It's got a little Thanos, like, ash coming off the end of the Avengers A there. Interesting trailer, I'd say, for sure. Friends of mine seem to have a mixed reaction on it. For me, the only thing that mattered on it was Tony Stark at the beginning.
Yeah.
And when he's leaving the message for Pepper and says it was always her, I'm like, nope, I'm done with the trailer. I'm going to go cry. I'm going to go cry over there. This is it. Marvel's killed me right here with this. It's definitely going for the emotional, pulling those emotional chains, the trailer. Still very much a teaser, so we only get a few little things. Mainly the original Avengers is what we get to see, but then we get a nice little tease from Ant-Man there at the end to add a little...
It's got Lang, remember?
Ant-Man, I know you
remember him. I know you remember him.
I don't know, what you guys thought about it? What'd you think about the trailer as a whole?
It was good, man. I enjoyed it. I don't know.
I mean, it's what they needed to do. Like, hey, by the way, this movie's coming out. Here's all the people you knew were going to be in it.
It definitely left you with the feels.
Yeah, I mean,
you get Cap looking at the pocket watch with
compass with
yeah.
I don't know. I'm curious to see how it goes. I mean,
how it all plays out.
It could have been the worst trailer ever made. Like, the movie will still make more money than any movie has ever made in the history of movies. Yeah. Ever.
And it broke records everywhere on the views.
Yeah, we shared it like 3 hours late and we still had great traffic to it. So, I mean, people were definitely checking it out all day that Friday. But yeah, interesting. What, of course, though, the internet always does is it was immediately followed by 9 million different memes. Some were pretty good, though. Some were pretty good. I did like that Thor looks like he's about to challenge Thanos to a rap battle. So,
yeah.
Very, very good, though. Yeah, let us know, of course, what you think about the trailer.
It's in the movie. I would be 100% okay with that, right?
Snap, there goes humanity. Anyways, but Thor versus Thanos rap battle. Obviously missing was Rocket Raccoon.
Yeah, I didn't see him.
The one, well, technically the one, but two of the last standing Guardians of the Galaxy, because Nebula is still around, and she
was there. Yeah, I remember her.
She played a big role in the Infinity Gauntlet comic arc, so it's highly likely we will see a big role from her in this, especially because of in Infinity, which, by the way, spoilers at this point. I think we're far enough. So especially in Infinity War, them, the whole Guardians technically risking their lives, especially Gamora for Nebula. She's definitely going to come in from that perspective and put up a fight with the good guys, you would see. I think very interesting, still a lot to be figured out. People are going to be guessing, obviously, until it comes out, of who's going to be involved, what's going to happen. Already talks about this Captain America, because there's going to be time traveling aspects. Does Captain America get left back in time to have his happy ending? Do we get Ironheart after this? Do we get, who is it going to be, Bucky or Falcon as the next Captain America? Does Thor go rebuild Asgard? All of that stuff left to be answered. So tons. I think that's the biggest thing about here is Infinity War. It just left us with so many questions. It's not just one big thing of like, mm-hmm. Oh yeah, it's obvious there's going to be something that's going to reverse the disappearance of half of these characters. We all know it's going to go that direction, but it's the fact that there was like 100 different questions that besides that still have to be answered, that we really don't know which direction they're going to go with. So I really think the Russo brothers and Marvel in general is doing a great job there.
Yeah. And the talk that's going to be 3 hours long.
I would say that's going to be rough, but to be honest, it didn't even feel like 2.5 hours for Infinity War. So,
right.
I mean, I would be impressed if they could get it in under 3 hours with all the stuff they have to wrap up. Like, this is the end of not just, you know, this two-part thing, but like, this is wrapping up the stories of a lot of characters who have been around for right. a long yeah. time. So they've got a lot of loose ends to tie up. How many after credit scenes will there be? 12?
The best part about all this, that 3 hour runtime, is somewhere James Cameron is sitting around going, ha, ha, 3 hours, amateurs. All the Avatar movies are going to be like 12 hours long. It's like, oh, James, what are you doing?
It's probably true. But all right, Endgame, like we said, let us know what your questions are regarding what's coming up next, what your thoughts were on the trailer, what you hope to see in the first full trailer, because once again, this was just the teaser, and I'm sure we'll see at least one, probably 5 or 6 full trailers before we get the movie. Yeah. But we'll go from there. Adam's already out. He's already checking out.
That's going to be like one a month, basically, right. From here until the
movie. There probably won't be another one for a while, but
there'll be one for the Super Bowl.
I think we'll get, you think the Super Bowl? I think we definitely get one with Captain Marvel, and then I think we get a bunch of TV spots beforehand. Yeah. So it'll be smaller, shorter clips that we probably had in these first few trailers, but you never know.
By the way, correct me if I'm wrong, they already moved up the movie, because I thought it was supposed to be like the first weekend in May, and it's now the last weekend in April?
No, I think it was April all along.
Was it? Okay. That's why I said.
I think they moved it up a week.
Well, I mean, like a while back, though. Like, I think it was the beginning of the summer they announced a bunch of new dates, because they moved up. Because then they announced in, what was it, 2020 or 2021 for that February release, which everybody realized that's probably Black Panther 2. And then that's when they switched a bunch of dates at the beginning of this year.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, because we cheesed this trailer forever, then we didn't talk last week. In all this medium time, we got a non-teaser trailer for a movie that comes out in May, and it was fucking awesome. Who else has watched the trailer for Godzilla King of Monsters?
Oh, come on.
Yeah.
Because it looks fucking amazing. Yeah, are you disagreeing with me?
So it looks like powerful, destructive, fun. But it's been a while since a Godzilla or King Kong movie has impressed me. And by a while, I mean before I was born movies that have impressed me.
That one I'm not sure. I'll just wait and see. Yes, so I'll see Bumblebee. I'll see Bumblebee.
On board with Bumblebee, and you're iffy on Godzilla King of Monsters.
Like I said, I really wasn't.
Bob, I'm with Adam on this one.
Real questionable, Bob.
No, I wasn't impressed with the first Godzilla.
Well, which former rapper, son of a sportswear owner, is doing Godzilla? Is it the guy? Is the son of the guy who found what was it, Under Armour?
Probably.
Listen,
his name was Chancey B or something like that. I don't know.
Listen, two things. Number one, it's being directed by God. What's his name? He's made like not good movies, so like. God, what is his name?
You're not helping your case here.
Michael Dougherty. He's like been a writer for a lot of stuff. He wrote a lot of scripts he worked on a lot of scripts for Bryan Singer, notably X-Men 2 and Superman Returns. So like not a lot of great stuff on his resume. He did make the 2015 movie Krampus, which was that dark core comedy.
Christmas I like Krampus.
But here's the thing. We're going to get a 2019 take on Godzilla with Mothra and Rodan and King Ghidorah. Like, what's not fucking cool about that? I don't care if the movie's god awful. As long as that part's cool, those guys going to town, it's gonna be dope.
I mean, look, I've seen every Godzilla and King Kong adaptation since I've been born. I'm just saying I haven't been overly impressed with one, so I'll be there.
And they got what's his name? They got the Friday Night Lights guy, Kyle Chandler's in there, Vera Farmiga, Billy Bobby Brown from Stranger Things.
What happened to Bryan Cranston? He died of radiation.
He died,
man.
Don't you remember?
Have you seen the movie?
Yeah, I saw it. I feel like did the door get closed on him because he had to like shut? I don't remember.
No, that was his wife who got.
That was his wife. It was such a shitty movie. That was such a bad Godzilla. It really was. It was almost as bad as King Kong Skull Island. Like Skull Island, I was like, oh my gosh, like just let's stop.
It's got Bradley Whitford in it. So it's
not, really, Tyler just moves on.
It's got Bradley Whitford in it. And it has Thomas Middleditch in it. So, like, I'm 100% on board with that.
If he dies, I'm down for it.
Tyler will watch.
Thomas Middleditch?
Yeah, well, I want him to die Bradley. Or to start, like, some technology company that helps the monsters. Like, makes.
Listen. Bradley Whitford in it, I'm on board.
I was going to say, if it had a West Wing reference, Tyler's there.
Yeah, it's got Bradley Whitford in it. It's got Josh Lyman in it. I'm on board.
He's down. I like I said, I'll be there. I'm just not super excited for
Listen,
it.
Name a movie that Bradley Whitford's been in that wasn't a good movie.
I'd have to look at the list of movies because I don't know all the
movies. There aren't any. He only makes good choices, guys.
Okay, you guys keep talking. I'm going to IMDb.
I mean,
he's still married.
Madison, so we can just
chalk
it all up, Iggy. You're not going to find one because he's in good stuff.
Are you looking?
I'm waiting. Give it to me.
Oh, man, I'm going to have to start looking now.
Have you even seen the movie Unicorn Store?
Oh, my God. That does sound bad.
What about Three Christs?
That sounds like a shitstorm right there.
I mean, Unicorn Store has Brie Larson, Samuel L. Jackson, Joan Cusack, and Bradley Whitford.
Oh, does it really?
It sounds fucking awesome.
Yeah, actually, now that you mentioned
back
that.
Back the hell off, all right?
That doesn't sound that bad. A woman named
and it was directed by Brie Larson, so you
okay.
can back
write the okay that okay
that doesn't make it a good movie if it's directed by Brie Larson.
It has Samuel L. Jackson in it. It makes it a brilliant movie.
He's got an argument. He's in a lot of shit,
and they're all good, man.
Oh, he was in a great episode of Drunk History, by the way.
Yeah,
that was a good one.
He was in The Post. He was in Get Out. He was
Adam. He was in The Cabin in the Woods.
He was in Cabin in the Woods. He's fantastic in Cabin in the Woods.
There's a lot of TV that I don't. Yeah, he was Studio 60 was really good. I know you like that too, Tyler.
Yeah, Aaron Sorkin.
Yeah,
he was in the second Revenge of the Nerds.
Okay, we're moving on. I can't argue this too much.
He plays the shitty like son and son-in-law in Senator Woman when they have the dinner.
Although I'm going back up, I haven't seen Megan Levy.
He's in Philadelphia.
And I was gonna.
Bradley
was
gonna go into excellent choices.
Look, I was gonna say, okay, the unicorn one you fought me on, you made a case. So I was like, all right, I'm gonna go to Three Christs and argue that. But as soon as I pulled it up, I immediately get Richard Gere, Peter Dinklage in there. And it's
Three Christ
followers, Dr. Alan Stone, who's treating three paranoid schizophrenic patients at a state hospital in Michigan, each who believe they were Jesus Christ. Now I'm kind of interested in that movie. Now I kind of want to see that movie.
Yeah. And it also has Juliana Margulies and Walt Goggins. And yep. Kevin Pollak. Steven Root is in it.
Okay. God,
this sounds fantastic.
First of all, homework this week, everybody.
Where the hell did these movies come from?
He does a lot of really small, like, independent films. These were all, like, film festival movies that never got, like, picked up for wide release.
Man.
So but, Three Christs was a 2017 Toronto Film Festival.
So Three Christs, it looks like the same director for, or same producer, excuse me, Fried Green Tomatoes, Sky Captain, and The World Tomorrow, Righteous Kill.
Neither. John Avnet. Neither Unicorn Store nor.
I'm watching both.
Three Christs got picked up for wide release after the festival circuit.
Well, a lot of independent movies make their way to Netflix, so I will be Netflix searching here after the episode.
Yeah. Listen. Don't fucking fight me on Bradley Whitford, all right? He's a national goddamn treasure.
All right. Well, I'm adding that to our list of stuff we talked about today. I do want to point out that the most important Christmas song in our generation was released this year when Lil Jon teamed up with the Kool-Aid Man to release their new Christmas rap. All I Really Want for Christmas.
Yeah, I'm on board.
Oh, yeah. It's a real thing out there.
Is it Kool-Aid?
Yeah, it's Lil Jon featuring the Kool-Aid Man.
No, but I mean, is all he really wants for Christmas Kool-Aid?
I think it's a variety of things. But yes, he's definitely drinking Kool-Aid all the way through it. And when he's saying what he wants, and it's playing in the background for me right now on my headphones, it's pretty fantastic. Definitely head over to YouTube. It's so great. The opening to it is fantastic. Lil Jon goes, you hear the rumbling, his Kool-Aid starts shaking like the Jurassic Park T-Rex is coming. He goes, oh no, oh no. And the Kool-Aid Man bursts through the wall and goes, oh yeah. And Lil Jon goes, it's that time of year again. And then they bust into the rap. It is the most important thing to happen this December, hands down. And for the next 5 minutes, everybody will be quiet while we're searching this out and listening to it individually. So please bear with us. But no, seriously, go check it out. We'll link directly to it because you have to see it.
It has some really good lyrics. I don't know any lyric will be top this classic line. Feliz Navidad, no eggnog, more Kool-Aid.
Give us some more lyrics, Tyler. You got lyrics pulled up right now?
No, I was just listening to it, and he said, Feliz Navidad, no eggnog, more Kool-Aid. You can't argue with that.
I mean,
it's genius.
It is. It is. Bob, are you listening to it right now? Is that what you're doing? Yeah, he's shaking his head. Yeah. All right. Just making sure we all part, you know. This is our new Christmas anthem, by the way. You guys were worried. Adam was wondering if the A-List sponsored us. No, Lil Jon and Kool-Aid Man are. That's what our sponsors are this week. So, all right. As we are most of the way through, we've got about 20 minutes left. Well, actually, real quick, I did want to bring up really quick. Apple did announce a new series. Peanuts is back. So they're bringing back Snoopy and the gang on Apple iTunes. And Snoopy is going to go into space in this series. So looking forward to seeing some new Peanuts. I'm sure you have to subscribe to something, though.
Apple Music, I think, is Apple Music. Is almost pretty much all the shows that Apple does right now. If you pay the $10 a month to get Apple Music, which is actually compared to, I mean, it's similar to Spotify or Amazon Music, you get an access to all of Apple Music's library, streaming for free, plus like unlimited downloads on to your devices. But you get some of their really amazing, original programming, like Carpool Karaoke, the series, and Planet of the Apps, which was a really, really terrible show. But Carpool Karaoke is a lot of fun.
All right. So that's a little Apple news for you. But the big topic this week, of course, is we asked you last time we were recording to debate us. We pulled it up because there's been a lot of talk. There's a lot of talk about it every year now, but this year, even more so, is Die Hard a Christmas movie. We can't argue it on the podcast because all of us are on the same page with it. We all agree that Die Hard is a Christmas movie. And don't play devil's advocate here.
I'm not playing devil's advocate. Here's the thing. I love Die Hard a lot. And there are definitely a lot of Christmas references in it. It definitely takes place at Christmas. But it is a Christmas adjacent movie. Like it's... I don't know. Like, if I'm going to make a list of greatest Christmas movies,
we're voting you off.
It's not making the top five. Like, you're like, hey, let's pick a Christmas movie.
Yeah, there's no immunity this week. You're voted off.
Okay. I don't know. I'm not saying it's not a Christmas movie.
There's a difference in being the best Christmas movie and it not being a Christmas movie, buddy.
Tyler, it's official. I have the Christmas storybook with Die Hard.
Oh, God.
There. It's over.
I don't know. I mean...
All right. Well, let's see.
So many really good Christmas movies.
Let's see what some of our Project Nerd followers had to say. I'm going to read. I've got about five of them pulled up here. We'll pick our. I think we'll pick a couple to argue here, but I think Stephen Hoinks on Facebook Sorry if I mispronounced your name. I think Die Hard is not a Christmas movie because clearly I've woken up in some alternate universe where up is left and down is black and nothing makes sense and everyone is depressed for coming to the conclusion that Die Hard is not a Christmas movie. They're bad people and Santa perpetually gives them coal on Christmas Day for the most... Okay. I give him points just for being an asshole about it. So...
I'm being creative.
He's saying yes, it is.
I think he's just woken up.
It's not a, because we're in this episode. Everyone is depressed for coming to the conclusion.
All right. So Joe Conter says.
So Steven is saying it is.
Yeah, he's getting points for being a smartass about it. Is what I'm saying.
Okay.
So Joe. So he doesn't win because he's obviously not presenting the bias argument. But Joe Contour, also from Facebook, said Die Hard is a movie that takes place at Christmas, but it's not about Christmas. Kind of what just Tyler just mentioned. The themes, tones, character arcs have nothing to do with Christmas mythology. Gremlins is more of a Christmas movie, which, by the way, I do agree Gremlins is a Christmas movie. It centers around a gift from a father to a son. Gift giving is an important facet of Christmas lore. Well, not all religions practice gift giving for Christmas.
John McClane brought that stuffed animal as a gift to his daughter.
He visited his family for Christmas.
And I will counter this. It is about the reconciliation of the family unit, the familial unit around the Christmas holiday. I mean, if there, what's more Christmassy than giving the gift of love from a family?
Lots of gifts are given. Lars's brother gives him a machine gun. Mm-hmm. He gives them
the smallest shoes that
Holly got a gift of a Rolex watch.
He gives them a lot of dynamite and an elevator shaft. There are a lot of gifts given.
Joe,
I feel like he's definitely anti Die Hard of Christmas, which is fine. I think he went a little too hard on having to have Christmas themes, but we'll see.
Joe, we were very quickly able to dismiss you. We'll probably throw you a movie anyway. So give us a shout out over on Facebook since that's where you're following us for your address. And we'll send something your way. Lamont Wayne on Facebook also said, Die Hard isn't a Christmas movie because the Christmas holiday itself isn't central to the plot. The Nakatomi holiday party could have been on Thanksgiving or New Year's or any holiday, and the plot to the movie would have been the same.
Disagree. Lamont makes, no, that's 100% on point. That's actually, that's the best argument that we've come up with so far. Because you can literally change the date of the entire movie and nothing about the plot changes except for the ho-ho-ho.
They could have done it over the Easter and it would have been an Easter movie.
So question for you, Tyler, and Bob, if you're also arguing on behalf of Lamont's comments here. One, he's traveling there to see his family for Christmas and hasn't seen them in quite some time. So it couldn't have taken place in Thanksgiving because he wouldn't have traveled there for Thanksgiving.
He might have. Maybe it's his daughter's...
What employer do you work for that has a different holiday party? The holiday parties are always around Christmas time and for the Christmas or Christmas adjacent holidays. Thanksgiving holiday party.
I've worked for many employers who do not have a Christmas holiday for various reasons because we're busy. We have other parties. Also, New Year's Eve party would have been fit just as well.
Okay, you might have me a little bit on New Year's Eve. Adam, come on, chime in here. I need some help on this one.
The problem is that, yes, you could change the holiday, and it doesn't necessarily change the plot. There are probably plenty of Christmas movies where you could also change the holiday, and it doesn't necessarily change the plot.
Name one.
Christmas Vacation. Just because Christmas Vacation, they could have gone Summer Vacation.
No.
They
made that movie. Second of all, two or three of the giant set pieces in Christmas Vacation entirely hinge on it being Christmas, specifically anything related to the lights.
Yeah.
And one of the set pieces in Die Hard.
And the tree.
The giant.
Yeah. Ho, ho, ho. I have a machine.
You have to change two lines and make a set change. Instead of a holiday hat, he wears instead of a Santa hat, he puts a turkey. He wears a New Year's Eve little party thing or has a favor and makes some, should all acquaintance be forgot, all anxiety joke or something like that. I'm just saying you change a line and you don't put the hat on it. That's what you have to change Die Hard. You have to rewrite the entire Christmas Vacation movie.
Name another movie
you can take Christmas out of it and it changes, the movie still holds together.
A Christmas Tale.
Oh, what's that?
It's a Wonderful Life.
What's the super happy movie or the holiday movie that everybody watches with Bill Nighy in it?
Love Actually.
Love Actually has a lot of Christmas in it.
Yeah, but they've made that movie for like every other damn holiday.
It doesn't matter if you have it.
I'm not saying they haven't made it. And that one was called Valentine's Day, or that one was called
New Year's Day.
They are holiday-related movies, and they have just mentions of the holiday in them.
Love Actually is Christmas is a pretty central to the plot of Love Actually.
Hold on, so Tyler, your
argument they can make the movie by changing the holiday day.
Yeah,
and it doesn't change the movie.
Hold on, all right,
it changes Love Actually. You would have to rewrite
order to the court, guys. Order to the court. So Lamont and by proxy Tyler's argument here is that we can switch these few things in Die Hard, but you're arguing by when we're saying you can switch these few things in these other holiday movies, you're saying we can't.
No. I'm saying that the changes you would have to make to Die Hard literally would take 30 seconds to rewrite the ho 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 line and not use a hat. Like, that's the two changes. They are cosmetic at best. You would literally have to rewrite the scripts to all these other movies. Like, there's entire scenes that just don't work because it's not Christmas. The gift giving stuff in Love Actually, or like, there's so much stuff in Love Actually that revolves around it. And all real Christmas movies, like Elf and, you know, A Christmas Story, and like their entire plot hinges on Christmas. Miracle on 34th Street, any of that stuff. Like, you literally have to change one line and like change the decorations at the Christmas party and not use the hat, and you have now Die Hard is a movie for any holiday.
But remember with It's a Wonderful Life, it originally was not a Christmas, down as a Christmas movie.
I never brought up.
That's what I'm doing. Okay. I'm doing here. Just, you know.
You said give an example of another Christmas movie. So there's
So then, like, then I can make the case that Wonderful Life's not a Christmas movie. There. It's not central to the plot. I'm just saying that Lamont's argument is
You're just a naysayer.
I'm saying Lamont's argument is valid. I'm actually coming around to it. I was like, yeah, like, you remove all references to Christmas to Die Hard. It is not a fundamentally different movie.
But you get the Run DMC Christmas and Hollis Queen song, man.
I know, and I like that. Don't get me wrong.
Tyler,
here's the like thing. I think you're mistaking mistaking me making this argument for me not liking Die Hard. I fucking love Die Hard. I've seen Die Hard so many times, it's unhealthy. I've seen Die Hard maybe as many times as Jake Peralta has seen Die Hard. Like, I love Die Hard.
99.
So close to coming back. Have you seen the Die Hard commercial for the 99 coming back?
Yes.
Anyways, you have, I think, to further argue this.
Just send Lamont a fucking movie. That's all I'm saying.
Okay. Lamont, you have won at least a movie. You're probably winning Black Lightning Season 1, the grand prize here, because it sounds like you might be the most case. But we have two more to bring up before we close this out. But real quick, you're talking about plot points. Again, the whole reason he is visiting is for Christmas. And I get that you could say he could be visiting for another holiday, but we all know when it comes down to it, if you're going to go visit your kids that live across the country, there are two main holidays you're going to visit for. Christmas.
It's his daughter's birthday now.
Well, what about Sergeant Powell not being able to spend time with his family on Christmas Eve? That was important part of their conversation, was it not?
Yeah. And, you know, when cops have to work on every major holiday, that's just what happens.
Yeah, but it's not significant.
What do you think? You think there's more cops on duty on Christmas Eve or more cops on duty on New Year's Eve?
No, but I'm saying,
I'll tell you which one it is. It's New Year's Eve.
That's not the argument. The argument is it as significant to a father to spend New Year's Eve with your children as it is Christmas Eve with your children? So it doesn't make that conversation between the two officers not getting time with their family on Christmas Eve as significant if it's a different holiday.
Listen, if it was a Christmas movie, he would have been eating those Christmas Debbie snack cakes instead of Twinkies. I'm just saying. Little Christmas tree, little Debbie snack.
Did they have those then? Are they that old? No,
they did not have them there individually at the stores.
Yeah.
I don't think that answered the question, but I don't know.
Bob knows way more about these than I was expecting, but okay.
I know my little Debbies. They did not sell them individually at stores back then. They just recently started doing that here.
All right. So Lamont, you're the front runner right now. Josh Goldman over on Twitter had something interesting to say. Not only was Die Hard released in the summer other than the film taking place during the holiday, doesn't feature any of the trademark staples of a Christmas movie. So he's going along with Lamotte's argument.
Similar argument.
But he's mentioning that it was released in the summer.
Guess what? Gremlins was released in the summer, too.
Yeah, but and people are going to argue Gremlins isn't a holiday movie.
It's a holiday movie,
but
just
they're
like
they're wrong.
I don't know.
Yes, yes. So it is released in the summer because in, let's see, what year was it? 86, 87? That's when big blockbuster movies were released. It just is what it is. I mean, that's,
blockbusters.
That's 30 years ago now. And so back in 30 years ago now, big blockbusters with big name stars were released in the summertime.
Also released big movies on Thanksgiving weekend, which is usually when Christmas movies come out.
Tyler's just being an ass right now. But I'll make the argument. I just binge watched this week the entirety of Happy Season 1, which not only takes place during Christmas, but has to do with Christmas characters, a guy dressed as Santa Claus, obviously, and the holidays happening for certain families. And if I remember correctly, I believe Happy Season 1 aired this past summer on Sci-Fi Network.
Yes, it did.
I don't think the release date part is as important as the other part of his argument. And
okay, so
and you can't television show release dates for a limited series that ran during this, like that's
fair. Okay, so we're saying then the release date is less important than Lamotte's arguments. What we're gonna go with? So
okay,
Lamotte's in the lead right now.
Okay, I'm gonna jump in on this. Okay. Released June 4th, 1947, Miracle on 34th Street.
Owned.
Yeah,
we already established we don't care about the release date.
Yeah.
So
Trading Places is a Christmas movie released June 8th.
Trading Places is barely a Christmas movie.
Oh, shut up.
And
by the way, Die Hard 2 was released July 4th on Independence Day.
Until you just said it, I had forgotten that, like, Trading Places took place at Christmas.
Batman Returns, June in 1992.
I argue Batman Returns less of a Christmas
movie. And Iron Man 3 is also a Christmas movie released May 3rd.
Batman Returns is definitely a Christmas movie.
Bob, did you
over Die Hard?
Bob, were you able to find a list of Christmas movies released in the summer?
Google is a beautiful thing.
The internet is an amazing place.
Jurassic World took place in the Christmas. You know,
it? Yeah, this is correct. The kids get that's their Christmas.
That's their Christmas. I remember it's the very beginning of the movie.
That's their Christmas present. But you get a Christmas present to go to Disneyland. And you can go six months later. Yeah.
It's snowing when they leave. I mean, it
doesn't matter on when
they live.
Yeah, we agreed it doesn't matter when.
Christmas movies.
Okay, so his argument's out. We've only got a little bit of time left for Kristen, no last name, on Twitter. Here's an argument. To me, Christmas movies are something I can watch with my whole family. I'm not going to watch people getting their brains blown out with my first grader.
Why not?
Well,
the
argument here is that's not saying your ethics are wrong. When my kids are in first grade, my son wasn't allowed to watch Die Hard either. However, that's a question of your ethics or beliefs. That's not a question of whether this falls in a certain time or qualifies as a certain type of movie.
Would you let her kids watch Love Actually?
There you go. There's a question back for her.
And then you could bounce it back.
It is a Christmas movie.
Many years ago, there were three movies that were released on Christmas Day, and they were the Scream trilogy. Scream 1 came out on Christmas Day. Scream 2 came out on Christmas Day.
Why?
And Scream 3, yeah.
Why are you still on the release date thing? Like, even before you brought him up, we were like, really hung up on it. You know what else came out on Christmas Day? The Lord of the Rings. Is that a Christmas goddamn movie? Like, the release date does not matter.
Well, first of all, there is the argument going around the internet right now that Lord of the Rings is a Christmas movie. Because it has elves, and Gandalf is a, what do they say, a weight loss Santa or something?
Yes. Oh, my God.
And Star Wars is a Christmas movie, too? All the Star Wars movies that came out on
except for Christmas. Solo.
No, but the release date argument is gone. But Adam, you put back a very good question. Love Actually. Or, for example, I have A Christmas Tale, which is a plot about a family that gets together to deal with the loss of a loved one when they come together for Christmas, some sexual content, and a lot of language. You're probably not going to watch that with your first grader.
There can be themes that are inappropriate for children. that does not remove it from being a Christmas movie.
Mm-hmm.
Correct.
I agree.
That's what I'm going to say.
Okay. So I think in the end, Lamont put up the best argument. So congratulations, Lamont.
It's the least worst.
I said the best argument. I didn't say he won. I just said he put up the best argument. Lamont Wayne, you are the winner of Black Lightning Season 1. Joe Contour, we said we'd throw you a movie as well, so definitely reach out to us on Facebook. But congratulations, Lamont. You definitely got Tyler to argue for you, which I think is Tyler just loves to argue.
I was going
to
say, that's nothing
new. We stopped recording. Tyler's going to say he was with us the whole time. I can guarantee it. I'm going to trick him and say we stopped recording so I can get it on recording. But anyways.
Listen, Elf is a Christmas movie. Christmas Story is a Christmas movie. Miracle on 34th Street is a Christmas movie. Die Hard is a Christmas adjacent movie.
All right. So y'all are wrong still, but Lamont is the best argument of wrong. So congratulations, Lamont. Black Lightning Season 1 on Blu-ray, courtesy of the Project Nerd team, heading your way. For anybody else that has questions on our rules or legal matters regarding contests, as well as visiting the site, podcasts, and everything like that, you can head on over to projectnerd.com/legal. The link is also at the bottom of all of the projectnerd.com web pages, where you can check out all the rules and guidelines regarding. Lamont is, to my knowledge, not a family member of ours, so he qualifies and he's taking home a nice TV season. All right, guys. Good argument there to end our last episode of the season, I guess we'll say, the holiday season, the 2018 season. Of course, next week will be Christmas week and the week after New Year's week. We normally record at the beginning of the week, so we will be celebrating both of those holidays, so you will be 2 weeks free of the Nerdcast, but in the meantime, feel free to check out some of our other episodes from 2018. You can head on over to projectnerd.com, see episodes of I'm Not Famous, Redults, new from Now Streaming, which we will have a new episode at the end of the month giving you what's happening in January on all the streaming services, as well as in 2019, the new podcast Meeple Skills about tabletop gaming and the return of modern sex. Big, big year for Project Nerd in the podcast department for 2019. We'll be back, I guess second week of January there to talk more about it, probably argue more, even if it's not about Die Hard, but we always have things to argue about. But before we head out, let's get some holiday final thoughts. They don't have to be holiday themed, guys. I just wanted to throw the holiday word in there. Adam, why don't you get us started with final thoughts this week?
Mine will be holiday themed. I am traveling to go see my family, so hopefully everyone is going to get to spend some time with people that they care about, whether it's blood relatives or the family you choose, whatever works best for you. And when you do, be careful. Be safe driving around out there. You know, there will be bad weather places, so be careful, be patient, everybody be calm, and just have a good time this holiday season.
All right, Bob, some final thoughts, sir.
Adam is just the calming person here on this podcast.
He's our compass.
He is our moral compass. Everybody have a great Christmas. I've already gotten crap on it about seeing Bumblebee this weekend. But like I said, I'm going to see three movies. Thank you, A-List. You're my Christmas present.
No sponsorship affiliation.
Yes, yes. And finally, one more thing. Finally, 2001 A Space Odyssey is out on 4K. Yay.
Woohoo. All right, folks. Don't forget Project Nerds over on Patreon. If you got a New Year's resolution, or more importantly, if you don't, I've got one for you. Support Project Nerd. You can head on over to Patreon. We got some good perk levels going on. You can either sponsor a podcast, including the Nerdcast, with a monthly fee, or sponsor one of our new video series premiering in 2019, as well as some other levels for those of you not looking to sponsor that can give you access to behind-the-scenes fun stuff, which there is a lot of fun stuff, and these guys don't realize it, but I save all the videos of us recording, so... But there's a lot of good fun videos and photos from us out at conventions, outtakes from I'm Not Famous and other video series that we're starting to record. All that's available to you on Patreon, as well as news first. For example, our December patrons already know our first big convention of 2019. If you want to know before later in January, you can head on over to Patreon, give us a little pledge, help us out month to month. Remember, all the bills need to be paid and for us to continue to support all the awesome geeky content that we do, sharing all these amazing cosplayers, these artists, these fun products, these events that we love to go to. We need funding, and that funding comes from those of you checking us out. So we appreciate it. I'll say thank you right now to the Patreon supporters we've had in December, our first full month as with our Patreon. A handful of people there that we can't thank enough for having our backs and helping us get to the, get well on the way to paying the bills for all the cool things we do. With that, again, just one last reminder. That's it for 2018 from all of our wonderful podcasts. Again, 2019, we've got a full slate, so keep your eyes on projectnerd.com. And of course, any feedback you have, including further arguing Die Hard, let us know in the comments, no matter where you find us, whether it's on projectnerd.com, social media, Podbean, or somewhere else. We're happy to further debate you on that, because in the end, Die Hard is a Christmas movie. With that, until next time, goodbye, fellow nerds. We'll catch you in 2019.